This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus, along with you from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland, where the Guardians are hosting the St. Louis Cardinals this weekend. Night game Saturday night at 7:15. Day baseball on Sunday, a 1:40 first pitch if you want to catch the tail end of the homestand. Some seats still available, although a very good crowd on Friday night, and a big house expected on Saturday as well, and a good crowd on Sunday too, but again, still some seats available for the weekend. Coming up in a little bit on our show today, we'll have a weekly farm report from Rob Serfolio, the Director of Player Development. He'll focus in on Single-A Lynchburg. We'll also hear from starting pitcher Hunter Gaddis, who earned his first Major League win earlier this week, and utility man Gabriel Arias, who has come on at the plate playing a variety of positions. But first, a look at the week gone by, and on Monday, the White Sox were in town. The Guardians looking to get off to a hot start on the homestand after a difficult road swing, and they got an early defensive boost in the first inning from Mike Zunino.
Now the 1-0. Runner takes off, pitch inside. Zunino throw to second, head first slide, and he is out at second. Kind of a delayed call by Chad Fairchild, but Mike Zunino throws out Luis Robert. First time he's been caught stealing this year. Perfect throw by Zunino, and the tag made by the shortstop, Ahmed Rosario.
Then in the second, the Guardians got on the scoreboard with a little help from the White Sox.
And the 2-0 pitch to Straw. Off the glove and all the way to the backstop and in to score Arias. Grandal reached to his right, and the pitch went off his glove to the backstop. And the Guardians get a gift, and they lead it 1-0 here in the second inning, and that is going to be scored a wild pitch.
Meanwhile, on the mound for the Guardians, Hunter Gaddis looked as good as we've seen him.
The dangerous Luis Robert, and this is the last guy, kind of like Pete Alonso with the Mets, that you want to see at the plate with a chance to do damage, as the set by Hunter Gaddis and the pitch. Swung on, skied in the air, right side. Jimenez, the second baseman, moving toward first, makes the catch on that sky-high pop. And Gaddis has worked out of it here in the sixth against the top of the order, and it stays 1-0 Cleveland in the middle of inning number six.
The Sox were threatening in the seventh with a couple of men in scoring position, but Nick Sandlin came on out of the Guardians' pen trying to hang on to the lead.
The 1-0. He swings and bloops one to the second baseman, caught by Jimenez, and Sandlin with a jam job to get Berger. It's stretch time at the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. Cleveland 1, Chicago nothing.
And then in the bottom of the seventh inning, Mike Zunino stepped in with two outs and a runner aboard.
Santos lets it fly, and Zunino swings and hits it high and deep to right. Back is Frazier on the track at the wall. He leaps, and this ball is gone! Mike Zunino with an opposite field two-run home run to right. And the Guardians have a 3-0 lead. How good do you think that jog felt for Mike Zunino in a 1-for-31 slide? And he stayed on it and drove it the other way. A two-out, two-run home run to right for Mike Zunino.
In the ninth, Emmanuel Clase was on and looked like a man on a mission.
The next delivery. Swing and a line shot to center, but right there to make the catch is Straw. Ball game. And the Guardians get a shutout and a three-hit shutout as Hunter Gaddis pitches his finest game in his young Major League career. He gets his first Major League win. Emmanuel Clase gets his Major League leading 16th save. And Mike Zunino may have had his best game as a Guardian, throwing out a runner and hitting a two-run home run tonight in the seventh inning to give Cleveland a little bit of a cushion. And the Guardians win game one of this homestand 3-0 over the White Sox.
Unfortunately, they couldn't carry over that momentum to the game on Tuesday night, a 4-2 White Sox win, and the White Sox won the series with a 6-0 shutout victory on Wednesday afternoon. Thursday was an off day for the Guardians, and Friday night, the Cardinals came to town. Good pitcher's duel between Matt Libertor and Shane Bieber as the game stayed scoreless through 4.5 innings. But in the bottom of the fifth, Guardians got it going with the bases loaded and Stephen Kwan at the plate. It's a payoff pitch and it's on its way. Swung on line, base hit left field. Jimenez will score. Zunino holds it third and the Guardians are on the board on the RBI single from Stephen Kwan. 1-0 Cleveland. They just slapped it past the third baseman Arenado for RBI number 15. And with Libertor allowing a run and in trouble with the bases loaded and nobody out, the Cardinals start to get some activity going in their pen. So they had the one run, and the big challenge offensively this season has been putting up crooked numbers in really good scoring opportunities. Bases loaded still, a run in. Ahmed Rosario at the plate, and he would take care of business. The pitch to Rosario, swung on, line drive, base hit down the left field line. Up against the wall it goes. One run is in. Straw has scored. Here comes Kwan. Rosario's cleared the bases. A three-run double for Ahmed Rosario. And there's the big inning for the Guardians. 4-0 Cleveland. St. Louis got back into it with a run in the sixth and another in the seventh to make it 4-2 Cleveland. And then some good defense in the eighth kept the Guardians in front.
Now the 2-1 delivery. Swung on. This is hit in the air to left and deep. Back is Kwan. Track. Wall jumps. He made the catch! He fell to the track and hung on. Kwan timed that perfectly. Kept going back, and just as he got to the wall, he leaped, crashed into the wall, fell to the ground, and hung on. Heck of a play by Kwan, taking extra bases away from Nolan Arenado. Now the 1-0 to DeYoung. He chops one toward short. Ramirez cuts in front, goes to second one. Jimenez turns it. How about that? Hosey cut in front of Rosario at short, and that's what enabled Cleveland to turn the double play. And De Los Santos works out of it, and the Guardians stay on top 4-2.
But the Cardinals kept battling in the ninth. They scored a run on a Lars Nootbaar double. That made it a one-run ball game. But Emmanuel Clase dug deep, and he found a way to get the job done.
Again, the payoff delivery. Ball. No! Strike three called! Oh, wow! A delayed call by Chris Guccione. Gorman screaming at the home plate umpire as he was headed to first. Ball game. Chris Guccione said, you know what? Dollar Dogs, T-shirt, fireworks. I want to be part of the action. And that's how it ends. Cleveland hangs on to beat St. Louis 4-3.
So the Guardians will try and keep it going on Saturday night against the Cardinals and also on Sunday afternoon to wrap up the homestand. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from Hunter Gaddis and Gabriel Arias. That's next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
We're recording. doing this Progressive commercial on a real boat to let people know that when you bundle your home, boat, and other vehicles...
What was that, boat?
Progressive saves you money, Jamie.
Why are we doing this on a boat?
We were going for authenticity.
We're going to the city?
Authenticity.
You mean Atlantic City? But we're not in the Atlantic. Are we?
Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
And here's Hunter Gaddis with a career best six innings and counting. He deals, and the pitch hit in the air. Third base side foul. Arias has plenty of room. What an inning for Hunter Gaddis. He had an eight-pitch inning.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly right here on the Guardians Radio Network. And a beautiful weekend here on this Memorial Day weekend. Great baseball weather, some good baseball on tap at Progressive Field downtown. And some good baseball pitched by Hunter Gaddis earlier this week. He'll start on Sunday. His last start came on Monday, and he was outstanding, notching his first major league win. We caught up with him the next day, and he talked about what it felt like after the final out was recorded and the win was official.
It just brought a big smile to my face. I mean, just getting that first one out of the way felt so good. I mean, my teammates behind me played a hell of a game, and it was just really good to get that out of the way.
You've had some good moments this season, going back to spring training and some good starts here the first time around. What was different, though, last night that really allowed you to see it through deep into the game?
I think just me and Z were able to work together really well, you know, keep the other team really off balance. I mean, try to stay away from hard contact and too many walks or anything like that, and it paid off.
I know sometimes when you're trying to work multiple different pitches and have them working together, it's difficult. But it seemed like all of your pitches were working last night. When did you start to realize that?
My changeup is, you know, usually my best pitch. I kept pulling it glove side. So, I mean, the slider and the fastball and the cutter were feeling pretty good. But if I can get all four or five of them lined up, it's a really nice day.
And you mentioned short notice. You didn't find out till a little while before that you were going to be pitching yesterday. Can that be a good thing sometimes?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm not thinking about it all week. I'm just thinking about it the day before. So, you know, I guess it's better sometimes just to act quick instead of, you know, sit around waiting for it.
Hunter, you look at how you progressed this season, and you face a White Sox team last night that gave you a hard time last year. But Carl Willis was saying before the game that the work you put in the offseason really showed when you showed up to spring training. What were some of the specific things that you were able to learn from based on last year that really have taken hold this season?
I mean, I'd say more of the growing was mental side, you know, kind of feeling like you belong here more. And then it was just coming down to consistency with each pitch and being able to put it where I want it more.
And I'm sure it's never easy to go up and back between the major leagues and the minor leagues. But what have you been able to do in that time at Columbus that's been helpful coming back here?
It's definitely a stressful moment sometimes, but it's good to take a step back and just look at, you know, what you got to work on. And then just try and improve every little step you can.
All right, probably the most important question, where's the hair? What happened to the hair? Why the decision to go with the cut? And how's it working out for you?
It's working out so far. Can't complain. It was just needed a change. So I can't complain. I kind of miss it, kind of don't. It's a little bit easier, so it is what it is, I guess.
What did the floor of the barbershop look like when it was all done?
Oh, it was a mess. It looked like a jungle for sure.
And can you share what happened inside once the final out was recorded and they realized it was your first major league win?
Oh, yeah, I got a really nice cold beer shower, that's for sure. I was freezing.
All part of a first major league win. And, Hunter, thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
At starting pitcher Hunter Gaddis, who has gotten another opportunity here in the major league, still very young in his career, but he gets that first major league win out of the way. Another young player very early in his major league career is Gabriel Arias, a shortstop by trade and a very good one, but to get at-bats on this club, he's had to move around a bunch, and that means playing third, second, first base, and also right field. We caught up with him earlier this week with translation help from Augie Rivero, and Gabriel said after a slow start, he's been swinging the bat well the last couple of weeks due to a couple of key factors.
I think the comfort has come from not stopping my work and, you know, keep my confidence up and not putting my head down. So knowing that my work's going to give the result, I think that's what has enabled me to turn the thing around.
We've seen some really good things each spring training the last 3 years now. What is so different, though, about major league pitching during the regular season from what you've seen?
It seems like in the season they turn to make all the adjustments and they work during the spring training. You know, the spring training seems that they just, you know, try to get their pitches in and they don't care too much of if you get a good AB or the hit or double or triple. So I feel during the season they locked it in and they try to make the adjustment to get you out.
And even though you started slow, and I know the playing time was sporadic, it seems like Terry Francona has had unwavering support for you and he believes in what you could be. How important has that been to you?
Yeah, super thankful for the opportunity, you know. I just continue being thankful to him for that opportunity and finding ways how to get me in the lineup. But for me, most importantly, is not to take the foot off the gas. You know, I got to keep the intensity, keep the work, because the moment you distract yourself, you're not in the lineup anymore. So I'm super thankful for the opportunity, but I know I got to keep working.
Gabriel, you're a shortstop, but you played everywhere, it seems, except catching on this year's team. And how long has it taken you to get comfortable at different spots aside from your normal position?
I think it comes down to the confidence of myself, and I think that confidence comes from all the goals that I set up myself during the year to be able to be here and help the team. And I think, you know, playing shortstop, that is in theory one of the most difficult positions, in a way enables you to be able to play the other positions. So I think in the outfield the most difficult thing are the line drive that come right at you, so luckily they haven't hit any like that at me yet. But all in that, I feel like I've been able to just put my confidence in what I'm doing and trying to help the team.
So how many gloves are you carrying right now?
I always bring the three gloves with me to the dugout, like the infielder, the first base, and the outfielder, because as you've seen, there are times that I start in one position and in the other, or maybe I'm not playing and late in the game I end up in a different position. So I always bring those three gloves with me.
And you do get that chance every now and again to play shortstop. We see the big arm and the good range. How much do you enjoy that part of it, being able to play there every now and again? Who knows down the line, but at least for now, every once in a while.
I mean, in reality, I'm just really happy every time I get that chance to play that position. That's my natural position, the one that I enjoy kind of like the most in a way. So I'm really thankful every time they consider me to play shortstop. I don't know what the future holds for me or for whoever's going to hold that position, but I'm really excited every time I get the chance to play shortstop.
And team-wise, I know it's been a struggle to get consistent in terms of wins and losses. What are you seeing, though, that's encouraging that could lead to some good stretches here soon?
I think we talk about that in the clubhouse. The key is to stay positive, right? Keep doing our thing and stay positive, because this is baseball. You're going to get the bad straights, but also the good ones. And we're going to keep remain positive, so whenever the good positive straights come, we're able to be ready for that.
Gabriel, gracias.
Thank you.
Augie, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That's Gabriel Arias, along with translation help from Augie Rivero, and certainly he seems poised to really see his major league career take off. Stay tuned. We'll have more to come after this.
The wind-end pitch, swung and grounded to short. Easy play for Arias. It's just fun. You want to stop talking and watch him throw the ball. Gabriel Arias showing off that cannon arm. I mean, that ball has such life to it, and he gets there in a hurry.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. In the minor leagues, Single-A Lynchburg is the first full-season affiliate of minor league baseball in the Guardians farm system. Rob Serfolio is the director of player development for Cleveland, and we caught up with him earlier this week, and he talked about some of the challenges players face in that first full season of professional baseball.
Yeah, it is such a unique level with players really getting their first taste at what affiliate baseball on the pro side looks like. So, you know, you look at the composition of our team, we have a lot of young players who I think, you know, Rosa, we talked about this a lot. We're young at nearly every level, but particularly at this spot, a ton of guys making their debuts at the affiliate level. So whether it was players that we've signed internationally the last couple of years that have played in the DSL and have played rookie ball, or if it's some of the guys we took from last year's draft class that are kind of really getting their first taste of consistent game action as a pro. So you have all these different backgrounds coming together, but the one commonality between all of them is they don't have a ton of games under their belt. So this level just is such a unique and cool learning level for the entire group. And you get to see guys under the constraints that is a full season in minor league baseball and some of the pressures that come with that, some of just the adjustment to the lifestyle with travel and 6-game series. So it ends up being a really informative season for a lot of these guys to get that first year of experience under their belt and to really learn what it's like to be a professional, play every day, go through that grind physically, mentally. And so, you know, it's a level where we like to have a lot of our coordinators and traveling staff in there to support these young guys as they're riding that first roller coaster trip. And our staff as well, you know, we have a handful of young staff in there. So it's a unique level that presents a lot of cool challenges for us.
And we will circle back later in the season when they have 100 games under their belt and are in uncharted waters to see how that's going. You mentioned staff-wise, Jordan Smith was an outfielder that we used to see in spring training as he was knocking on the door of the major leagues as a player, and now in player development. And how's he faring in his first full season assignment as a manager?
Yeah, you know, we're lucky to have Smitty on our team. And, you know, he got his first rep at the manager job last year. You know, just like we talked about with this player group, he was with a lot of them in Arizona last year as part of our rookie ball group and made the transition to getting his first taste now as a manager. And I think his experience as a player is a huge competitive advantage, not only for him, but just for our organization, that he has lived the life, knows what to expect, can foresee some of the challenges. And now he's getting a chance to lead a group of staff as well as the players. So, you know, he's like I said, we're lucky to have him on our squad just from his knowledge of the game, his experience as a player. And I know he's really enjoyed getting his hands dirty with these young guys out of the gate.
We're joined by Rob Serfolio talking Single-A Lynchburg. Let's get to some players now, and we'll start on the position player side. And you have a position player, Garrett Lipscomb, who looks like an on-base machine.
Yeah.
Fill us in on what he's been doing to really have some good success.
Yeah, so Guy Lipscomb, outfielder that we took last year out of Belmont University in the Tennessee area, and he can really run. We're talking about a good athlete here. I think he's top five in maybe all of baseball, or at least leading that league in stolen bases. A guy that can really swing it from the left side, lot of line drives, good contact skills, knows the zone. You know, so it's been exciting for us to see him. He wasn't in game action last year, coming out of the draft. So this is really the first time we've seen him, you know, in extended game outings over 150 plate appearances. And he's really held his own out of the gate, playing, you know, a pretty good center field defense and bouncing around, playing all over the place and, you know, doing some of the things that we expected to see at him from the draft last year.
And when you talk about on base, maybe no one better right now than Nate Furman, not only at Lynchburg, but
correct.
In his system.
Yes, that is correct.
Tell us about Nate and what he's done to really put his name on the map.
Yes, you know, somewhat similar to Guy, and you just look at their overall profile. Like, again, it really knows the strike zone, just top level bat to ball skills. I think he's, you know, really near the top of the ranks, you know, putting up some Will Brennan, Stephen Kwan type strikeout rates. And just a guy that hits a ton of line drives and puts the ball in play at productive angles. So, you know, for him, he's a little bit of a smaller guy, plays second base on the infield. We're exposing him to third a little bit, trying to make sure that he has some versatility to really impact the lineup on defense. And then, you know, of course, trying to amplify what he does well and move the needle in some of the areas of the game on the impact quality side of things that, you know, we want to see him grow over time. So, you know, he is an incredible worker, great teammate, you know, really kind of embodies a lot of just the grit principles that we like to talk about here from an on and off field side of things. And it's been fun to watch Nate go out there and you know, really kind of tear up a lot of the Carolina League so far.
And let's stay on the position player front. Willie Antunez looks like he's off to a nice start. And what's he doing so far?
He is. You know, this is a young kid that he got a little taste of Lynchburg last year at the end of the season, performed really well in Arizona rookie ball for us. So we wanted to get him some exposure to that level at the end of last season. And he kind of picked right up where he left off. You know, this is a guy that can hit the ball for some power, impacts the baseball, you know, can play all over the place in the outfield, primarily center field, right fielder, but can run. So, you know, this is an exciting young guy that, you know, maybe it's a little under the radar, you know, given a lot of the prospects we have in our organization, but he does a lot of things well for a 21-year-old on offense. And he just kind of continues to get better and better and learn what it's like to be a professional. Like we talked about at the beginning of just the ebbs and the flows on the performance side of things, you know, how to keep your body healthy and still improving physically, you know, that first opportunity to both play 5-6 games a week but also continue to work on your body and get stronger has been a really good experience for him so far.
And we'll head to the pitching side, and before we get into specific players or pitchers who are rolling right now, Rob, I know, gosh, pitching, it seems so dependent on injuries for players to make progress, and it's a fact of life with pitchers. You're going to have them. It seems like the bug has caught Lynchburg pretty hard here early.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, this is what we try and avoid to the best of our ability every year. And, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of that in general. But, you know, unfortunate to lose a couple guys from last year's draft class that, you know, we were expecting to go out there and get a taste of full season baseball. And you know, hopefully we were expecting them to perform pretty well as well. So, you know, that always hurts losing two talented guys like Justin Campbell, Dylan DeLucia, a couple college arms that we thought could be in that starting rotation coming into spring training, and have unfortunately both of them kind of run into a little bit of the injury bug. And, you know, as a result, haven't had a chance yet to get out there and showcase what they can do. But I know, you know, I'd put our medical group up against any other group in baseball, and, you know, they're going to have those guys ready as their bodies, you know, willing and able to get them back out there and handle some competition. So, you know, two guys that we're continued to be excited about having in our organization, and, you know, maybe just off to an unfortunate start, but, you know, we certainly haven't given up any hope with what those guys can do and can be in the future.
Now, a pitcher who is off to a good start and healthy is Parker Messick, a lefty out of Florida State. And gosh, Rob, it sounds like he fits that profile that we've seen have good success all the way up into the major leagues. And that's a good college pitcher who throws strikes, and what are you seeing from him so far?
Yeah, we hope so. To your point, this is a guy that really was pretty dominant at the college level, and obviously a good school, good conference in Florida State, and really fills up the zone, knows how to pitch, has a little bit of moxie, just hard worker. has really improved physically since we got him. You know, last year out of the draft, I think he threw like close to 130 innings. You'd need to cross check me on my memory there, but you know, you stack up what he did in college relative to some of our other starters in the minor leagues, like he would have thrown more innings than most of our guys across pro ball. So we wanted to be really smart about him when we got him, make sure physically he had some time to recover and put his best foot forward coming into this year. And, you know, credit to Parker. He worked his tail off in the offseason, really attacked some of the physical objectives we outlined for him through the draft process and just getting to know him early last fall, and came into spring training in great shape. You know, he's really attacked the zone and just knows how to pitch, like inside, outside, up, down. Like he can really locate all of his stuff. And as a result, I think, you know, he's been able to get off to a good start here with the Hillcats, and, you know, a guy that we're hoping to continue to push even further and you know, kind of help refine some of his stuff and just continue to uptick just his overall quality of what he can do on the bump.
Well, Rob, good stuff on the update from Lynchburg, the Hillcats in the Single-A Carolina League, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks.
Sounds like a plan, Rosie. Thank you for having me.
That's Rob Serfolio, the Director of Player Development for the Guardians, talking Single-A Lynchburg, the very bottom of the minor league ladder in terms of full season affiliates. And again, we'll circle back with Rob later in the season to see how some of those young players are faring, holding up to the day-to-day that is professional baseball. Stay with us. We'll have our final segment after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
At Progressive, we know how much you love your recreational vehicles, so we decided to record this commercial in an RV
with a family on vacation.
Mom, who are these people?
Oh, that's Flo and Jamie. They're recording a commercial, sweetie.
Don't they do that in the studio?
Oh, normally.
No.
But we wanted to feature a family who bundled their home and RV and saved with Progressive.
Yeah, it looks like you're all out of chips.
Okay, I think we'll just drop you off at the next gas station.
Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you as we join you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Thanks so much for joining us this week. And a regular guest on our show, we always enjoy these, Senior Vice President Bob DiBiasio and his features at the ballpark. And here it is, another edition of Bobby D at the ballpark.
The perfectly manicured field, the unmistakable aroma of a ballpark hot dog, and the electricity celebrating another victory.
This is At the Ballpark with Bobby D.
The ballpark is home to many stories, many memorable moments, and colorful personalities. Joining me now at the ballpark is 30-year veteran of the organization, a man behind the scenes, Frank Mancini, who has spent those three decades working in the clubhouse closely with our players. Frank, thanks for joining me.
Bobby D., thanks for having me. This is an incredible honor. Anything that has to do with the tribe or the Guardians, especially coming from you because you're the senior member here, it is an honor for me. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to talk two things inside the clubhouse, baseballs and bats.
Two of my favorite things.
Let's talk baseballs first. All I saw you do this spring training was rub down baseballs with a special mud that is provided by Major League Baseball. How are your hands feeling?
I make sure I use gloves when I'm doing it because it takes forever to get that out of your underneath your nails and the cracks of your hands. No, my hands are fine.
How many dozen did you rub up?
I usually did two cases a day. So let's see. There is 72 balls in a case, so about 144 a day, just for spring training.
And how many weeks?
Well, I would do it every day. We had 15 games, so I try to get 30 cases done for spring. Yeah. Every year I do it in spring training.
And that's strictly to get the sheen off the ball?
Correct. To make the ball a little tackier for the guys to grip. Otherwise, they have a hard time gripping it, especially on breaking pitches.
The most important aspect, though, is 2020. You were in charge of rubbing up the balls, and we had a certain pitcher win the Cy Young Award, so he was tossing the baseballs that you played around with.
Yeah, that was my one claim to fame, I guess, is that the one year they asked me to assist in the umpire's room, and because I'd done the spring training baseball for so many years, they asked me if I'd do it for the regular season. And during COVID, they needed someone to do it. So I volunteered to do it, and yeah, I was doing sometimes three cases a day because umpires or quirky pitchers would be throwing balls out left and right. The bat boy had to use gloves on his hands, so that added to the workload. And yeah, my claim to fame is the one year I did it, Shane Bieber won the Cy Young Award, so I've got that to put on my tombstone someday.
Well, congratulations. Thank you for doing that. And I'm sure Shane thanked you as well. Now let's shift to bats.
Sure.
Players treat their bats like they are absolute treasure.
Still do. It's changed over the years. Some of it is just out of the differences in bats, depending on the feel. Others, guys are looking for an edge. So, yeah, there's multiple ways that it's changed, and I could speak for hours on it, but we only have a few minutes.
Yeah, I'll start. I was just on the phone about a week ago with Rocky Colavito.
Wow.
Always a treat to chat with Rocky, and he told me a story about how he cared for his bats. When he was with the Indianapolis Indians in AAA, and they would go to Louisville, he'd always stop in the Louisville Slugger Factory. And there was an Italian man.
Craftsman.
Yes, on the lathe making bats, and he would make Rocky's bats. And he wanted wide grain bats.
Correct.
So when he would send the dozen, especially when he made it to Cleveland, and in the equipment room at Cleveland Stadium, it was a cement floor.
That's right.
So he would hold out his bat, holding the handle with the barrel closer to the floor, and he would drop it. According to the sound of the bat hitting the cement and how high it bounced, determined whether that was a gamer or not.
No.
So power hitters easily treated their bats with so much care and pride.
No question.
Tell me about Albert Bell.
Well,
I mean, he's a guy, again, it's a lot of power hitters who treated their Jimmy Tomey, treated their bats with special care.
No question about it. Albert was the most particular of all. I mean, each guy, whether it was Kenny Lofton, who wanted his handle a particular way so it was easy for him to flick his wrist because he was more of a slap hitter. Jim Tomey, who had our former trainer, Jimmy Warfield, after he got nailed in the hand one time on a pitch, he created this spongy grip for him at the end. It was kind of like a triangle that allowed Jimmy, even after his wrist healed up, to grip the bat securely, and he just took off home run-wise after that. And then there was Albert. Albert and I would play golf together, and one time he got from Louisville Slugger bats that the handles were too thick. He said, "Frank, you do me a favor and shave this down a little bit." So I spent a few minutes shaving it down. He went out and destroyed the ball. And he goes, "Frank, boy, that felt great. Why do you think that was?" I said, "Well, you and I go golfing together. You see with a thin handle the whip that you get. So it only makes sense that on a bat the same thing's going to happen." He goes, "Yeah, shave it down some more." Well, that was the year he hit 50 home runs. So I would shave it down, and it would take me 2 to 3 hours per bat to get it exact.
Per bat. And what would you shave it with?
Sandpaper and these wood craftsman tools that had steel blades at the end that I would just do it patiently because I didn't want to lose the roundness of the bat. And then he liked his handle where when he gripped the bat at the end, it was firm and secure, so he got more leverage. Where other guys, like I said with Kenny, he had no knob on it.
Right.
Well, Albert wanted that to stick knob. But I would shave his bat so thin that they would be the same thickness as a golf club. I've never seen another
player like that.
Ever.
Did he ever crack or
he
snap
did one time.
A
bat? That's another story. Yeah, one time
on a check swing?
He got upset. So he threw his bat. He put a big nick in the bat. He says, "Frank, you're going to get this nick out quick." Well, I only had 3 innings to get it done. So I'm shaving. I got the nick out as best as I could. Well, in the middle of his swing, he's about to launch one. The bat went, keeled over on me, couldn't even complete the swing. So that's the only time it ever happened.
Yeah, and I'm sure he took it well.
He did not take it well. I got blamed for that one.
Well, can't thank you enough for all the hard work you've put in.
It's an honor, sir.
Here's hoping you enjoyed today's visit with Frank Mancini. We look forward to sharing more stories at the ballpark on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
That's Bobby D at the ballpark, and that's going to do it for this edition of Guardians Weekly. Thanks, as always, to Brian Motze for helping to put together our show each week. Until next time, when we join you from Minneapolis, the Guardians on the road next weekend, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.